so my car's a tinny. Dancing with the devil, I don't bargain with it. Bible in a dash and the stick is witty. And I hit the 4-5 on the wet side.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Young Closer Podcast. Guys, number one, you know the drill. Make sure you shoot me a quick follow on Instagram at The Real Young Closer. Let's make sure that we stay connected. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, subscribe to the channel, because if you don't, just leave. I'm kidding. But hey, guys, listen, I have somebody really special here that is killing the game in solar, leading the front, blazing the trail for a lot of reps that are out there and companies that are out there, and just changing the landscape of the way that business is done and run, with building teams, with building cultures, which we'll get into all of that. But Mr. Alex, introduce yourself to the freaking team, man.
Okay, I'll give a brief synopsis. So Alex Smith, Alex H. Smith, been in the industry, the solar industry, for 7 years. I was running multiple teams for two different companies for the first 4 years. And then I started Spartan Solar 3 years ago, which, you know, along this journey, along any journey in any industry, especially as you evolve as a leader, especially in a new upcoming industry, which is solar, right? There's a lot of things that aren't already set in place for everybody. There's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of massive adversity, which allows you the opportunity to grow, allows the opportunity for other people to fall off when they can't handle that the adversity. But ultimately now we're at a place where we have about 400 people inside of Spartan Solar. And this month, our goal, what we're pacing for, what we're trying to hit, which if we don't hit it, it's not the worst thing, but we really want to hit it.
Oh, we're going to hit it.
We're going to hit it, which is going to put us at about $45 million in sales in the month of February.
Let's go.
Just to put it in perspective
of what's happening down there. Well, number one, listen, here's what you guys need to do. I know that if you're listening to this in the car, don't die while texting and driving. But if you're sitting at the house watching this on the YouTube or, you know, Apple, Spotify, whatever it is, guys, make sure you go follow him on Instagram, which your Instagram is
Alex H. Smith.
And then your company's is
Spartan Solar. Official.
Guys, it's very simple, okay? Make sure you lock in on those on Instagram. And the deal is, hey, there's a lot of people out there that are working either in these companies that don't have a culture that isn't allowing you a vehicle or an opportunity to go be great, or you're looking to get into sales because you've never done it before and you just need somebody to give you a chance. The deal is you're always looking for killers. Mm-hmm. And so what you guys need to be doing is reaching out to Alex, reaching out to their company page, which, I mean, very simple. He's in direct contact and he's looking at it all the time. I can't get the guy off his phone because he's got so many people reaching out. But if you need an opportunity, hey, reach out. There's one right there. And so we're going to get into the episode because the company is beautiful. The culture that you guys have built is something special. The way that you guys operate is almost exactly like the Elliott Group, yeah, which is, you know, you can see the similarities in the two companies, and they're on either side of the coast of America, and they're just dominating the games. But in all reality, I want to know your story because you're the one at the helm. And so let's start it right here. Like, before sales.
Okay.
Like, Alex in high school, bro.
Alex in high school.
Like, what were, because obviously now, like, you're fired up, you're motivated, you know, you're in the gym, you're jacked, you just got a good attitude about you, you're always smiling. Dude, who were you back in the day before all of it?
So in high school, actually, right before high school, I was playing every sport. I was playing baseball, soccer, basketball. I was playing all the travel sports, right? Just an athlete, just a kid running around. My sister was doing the same thing. And then all of a sudden, and this is like a freak thing that happened, all of a sudden I went to a soccer game and I was playing and I just broke out in hives. And then my whole body started swelling up and my throat started closing. And so my dad had to race me to the hospital. And at that moment, I lived, obviously.
Yeah, well,
but it became a freak case study because I became allergic. They called it exercise-induced anaphylactic shock. I became allergic to exercise, the sun, like literally the sun outside, and then physical pressure. So like if I were to lean against something, it would break out in hives. So I went to the hospital probably like two dozen times over the next 2 years because no doctor could figure out a cure for it. And so what happened was I stopped going outside and playing with my friends.
So you became an iPad kid.
I became a Gears of War, Halo, World of Warcraft, and RuneScape kid. I channeled all my competitive spirits into playing video games at a high level. And so I was just playing video games from morning till night. And then I finally actually got like an experimental new on the market treatment called Xolair. It's like super expensive monthly shot. So like it subdued all those symptoms. But by that point, I was a video gamer. And it got to the point where even in high school, when I went to go on the football team. I dropped out of the football team because I wanted to play more video games, and the 2 days were taking away too much time. And so the same thing would happen with, and then I played baseball over there in high school. So I just played video games, and my family would always make fun of me for being all skin and bones. So I was known as being all skin and bones. I was like a buck 45 going into sophomore year in high school. And then there was a moment where I finally decided, I think it was like sophomore year, that summer, where I decided I was going to throw away the video game. I literally physically cut the cord. Before I did that, I deleted World of Warcraft, which is my shit.
Playing WoW all day.
Dude, I was playing WoW all day, man. And Gears of War. As soon as I get really frustrated with World of Warcraft, I'd switch over to Gears of War. It was like, dude, it was just back and forth.
What was the, I just need to know, what was the console of choice?
The console of choice for Xbox.
Oh, same.
All day long.
Dude, that's I resonate with that, dude. I was that weird kid, like middle school, first couple years of high school, bro. Just playing video games. I was just playing Call of Duty, though.
Dude, I was locked in. Like, I went to literally to gaming places with my buddy to compete in World of Warcraft so that we could get Furious Gladiator to become the best. So that took a majority. Then that sophomore summer, I decided to start working out. I just started to start training. I just started to start going to the beach and being in the sun again because I was able to.
That's when you were trying to pick up chicks, bro. Let's just be real.
That's what triggered it. That's what triggered it. I was like, shoot, I need to do this whole girl thing. Because girls were into me, but I was so into the games, I just did not pay any attention. It was really a weird place to be. My parents were trying to figure out all sorts of solutions to get me off the video games. And if they were to take away my internet, I would just throw a fit. So I had some anger issues in high school for sure. And in middle school before that. But then finally I was able to make that pivot. And so throughout high school for the remainder, I turned it on. So I got in really good shape. I started to add a lot of muscle. I got addicted to adding muscle and looking better and feeling better. And all of a sudden I showed up junior year, and I also somehow gained 6 inches over that summer. And I was taller than people that were taller than me before. I remember people commenting like, dude, what the hell just happened? And then I was getting size. So
that might've been standing up.
So I got, that was a good feeling, right? I came back tan, looking good, feeling good. So junior year is like a totally different person, right? I was hanging out with people again. I was socializing. I was getting girls.
And the medical condition was like,
it's been subdued because of that. The shots once a month. And then it came back in college when I wasn't getting the shots because it was hard to get. And then it went, and then I got the shots again. And then finally I just stopped getting the shots because it was a bitch to get with insurance. And then finally, now at this point, it just went away. All of a sudden I grew out of it, which was a blessing. But when I go to a doctor's office, they would bring all their doctor friends to like look at my case study because it was so bizarre.
No kidding.
Yeah. So that was my high school. Then I went to FSU for college.
Florida State?
Yeah. Okay. Big party school.
Yeah. I don't even have to ask many questions what you did in college.
Yeah.
You know, you're just probably just getting after it. You know, like most college kids. I didn't get the college experience. One thing I'm like, would have been nice, but
you know, it's
take care of business.
There's good and bad, right? The good was there was a connection and acquaintance that led to me getting into the solar industry from college. So that was the good. Also made a lot of lifelong friends in the fraternities. I got a chance to speak in public, right? Cause I was sorority relations chair. I was a bar manager. So there's a lot of good that came with that in a fraternity. Cause I was able to take on roles and I was recruiting chair. So I was able to do things that actually apply to the real life later on. I didn't really think about it that way when I was doing it, but they applied. So there's a lot of good there. But the bad that comes with it and what stays with a lot of people are the habits. Like I always joke, I had a triple major, like for real, but I always joke saying my triple major was in drinking, drugs, and girls. Like, and those are some hard habits to break. Not like heroin or anything, but.
But I mean.
But you know what I'm saying? Those are hard habits to break because it's not like when I would go to get a drink, I wouldn't just have one and I wouldn't just sip on it. That thing would be gone in 3 seconds.
Yeah, you'd have to stay by the bar.
Yeah, it'd be like, I'd be leaning on the bar the entire time. So outside of college, when I wanted to get my mind right and my career right and become the person I actually wanted to become, I moved out. I made the decision, the conscious choice to move out to California for solar. That's where the opportunity was anyway. But I really wanted to get away from everyone and anything I knew. Okay. Because I knew that if I was around them, I'm going to end up joining them in on the activities I used to partake in. Yeah. So it was like a separation to jump into like a success incubator where there wasn't a ton to do out in Walnut Creek, California. There just wasn't a lot out there. The nightlife is no nightlife.
Yeah, dude.
And so that was the move I made, and I was able to focus back in. Like I deleted all the distractions and I just set the pace for, you know, what I wanted to be. And I decided like there was somebody that came to college on alumni weekend, right? One of the older the older guys come back into town. And this guy said something that really stuck with me and got me going hard, which he was like, man, enjoy this. You're going to miss these days. And I was like, fuck that. Yeah. I don't want to leave here and miss anything.
No.
Like, I don't want this to be my peak. This is not going to be my peak. My peak is going to, this is nothing. I have a, you know, I've reached success in this little bubble. I was like, this is nothing compared to what I want to become. So like, that has lived with me forever. I'm like, that, you know, it's gone now because I have to choose other things to chase after that's going to get me going. But that was a huge motivator for me just to make sure I put myself in the right position, got away from everything and everyone I knew and just reinvented.
100%, man. And so you're in Walnut Creek, California.
Yeah.
You want to tell what solar company you were with or?
Yeah, I was with this new company called SunGrade Solar.
Okay. How long were you with them?
2 years.
Okay. And so I'm guessing like you just, let's just talk this first summer out there. What was it like?
So I started in winter. I started in January because I graduated in
that's
fall.
Preseason, no? What you guys call preseason?
No, we do year round.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I grew up in year round. Some companies do seasonal. So yeah, I started in January. I didn't know California was cold. I thought it was always 70 degrees and sunny because I went there one time before and that's what it was. Turns out we were in a monsoon season for the first time in 8 years when I got there. So I didn't bring any warm weather gear. And I really got my teeth kicked in right away because when I got there, the first day I went and breakfast and had it with some of the regionals and some of the guys that were there, the leaders.
Yeah.
And I think it was either that day or the next day, we went out knocking, right? So I had to learn how to knock doors. The last thing in the world I expect to do after graduate from college with a triple major in finance, sales, and marketing was knocking on doors. Like I thought when my parents used to go to the door and someone would ring the doorbell at home and someone's at the door, I'd just scream, mom, dad. And I'd just kind of tuck away and hide. Like, who is this guy? And see how my dad would interact. It just seemed bizarre to me the entire time.
Facts.
I'm like, get him away from here. So it was the last thing I thought I was going to do, but the opportunity just made it make sense. So I ended up getting food poisoning the first day though.
Oh.
And I was like, and it was freezing cold and I didn't have a jacket. And I was like, dude, there's no way I'm starting off this way. And so I just stomached it and would just throw up on the side of the road, just keep going. And I just keep knocking. And I had someone I was shadowing and I just went this path. Where I was just like, no matter how I feel, no matter what's going on, I would go home and I would just be in fetal position. And at that point I just had this little, it was an air mattress that popped. And so I just had this like pool float. It wasn't like actually a pool float, but it was like this thin little thing, like this thick.
Yeah.
And it would deflate. And by the time the morning came, like 4:30, it was on the floor.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any furniture there. I didn't have any money. I borrowed $4,500 from my grandma to get out there. So that was already a push because I didn't come from money. My parents didn't have money. So I had to go to my grandma to ship the car out, get the flights, get the security deposit. And then you can relate to this with commission base, but I have no more money. Rent's going to be due soon. I got to make sure I figure this out quick.
I got to make some money.
Shoot. What happens if you don't pay your rent? I'm an adult now. Yeah, I don't really, facts. Are they going to kick me out? I was like, shoot, I got to figure, like, I actually there, this is the time I have to perform.
100%.
And so I just, you know, at that point I deleted all social media, took away all the distractions, wasn't talking to any women, wasn't doing any drinking, wasn't doing anything for the first, it was supposed to be 90 days. I think I only went 70 days and then I forget what I did, but only lasted 70 days. But either way, I was dialed.
70 days in the company or 70 days of a recruit?
70 days of working every day and pushing off any garbage. Oh, so every day, 7 days a week. And so by the end of month three, I was one of the managers of the office,
Oh.
So I just jumped past everybody else.
Yeah.
All the veterans were asking me what I was doing. They wanted to be with me in the turf. I'm like, dude, no.
No,
I need to go out there on my own. So I hit my goals because back then, if you were to bring someone else with you, even if they're just with you, you have to split the commission. And so I was like, really? Dude, And I was like, I'm staying out. So that's the way. And then I just started teaching other people.
Okay.
And that was the initial kickstart.
So obviously like we're selling for that company. We're getting after it, dude. You're making, I'm guessing, damn good money at that point because you're focused. You're locked in.
Yeah, my first year I made $155,000.
Which, I mean, how old are you then? Like 24?
Just got out of college, so 22,
23. Okay, yeah. Like 155 at 22, 23, like,
First year out, that was a lot.
Yeah, let's just be real. I mean, that's killing the
game. Back then in solar, we were getting paid way less. Like, just to put in perspective, back then in solar, we were making about $72 a panel. The average system was 20 panels, so about $1,500 a job. Now people are making 3, 4, 5 times that, 10 times that. I mean, it's changed a lot. The industry has evolved a ton. I've seen everything happen in this industry. I feel like I've seen every wave happen.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And so you're killing it. You know, you did a good first year. And then what happened from the transition from, because you went from that company to then building Spartan Solar, right?
So I went from that company. I mean, there is so much adversity that happened along the way. So like when you're going through, everything was going really, really well. And then I had a lot of death in my family. like a ton of death just stacked up on me. And that really can kill the reason you do something. Like I had the reason I did something and I was going for everything was for, you know, my dad really. Like my mom too, but my dad was the person I'd call because, right, I wanted to show him all the time he put into me with all the stuff paid off. And so my cousin passed away. He was my best friend 3 years ago. My dad passed away a year later on when I was on my cousin's memorial hike. And then his two brothers passed away my dad's two brothers, my uncles passed away within 6 months. So it was just like a massive flood of death.
Yeah.
And so I spiraled for a little while. Like I spiraled at that company. And so I went from being the director of sales. So I got to the top level of the director of sales. And then I decided after, you know, being with family for 2 weeks and friends with 2 weeks, when all this like it really came together, I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to go to LA, which was, you know, and focus on a new kind of like branch within the company. And I thought it'd be good because I'm going to go get uncomfortable again. That's how I first had a lot of success, right? Going to cover, I was like, okay, I'm just going to change my environment. It was the worst thing I could have done because I was by myself in this Airbnb that sucked and didn't have AC. Don't ever get an Airbnb that says bungalow. I have Airbnbs. If an Airbnb says bungalow in it, it probably doesn't have air conditioning. It's a fun way to say we don't have the stuff you need. And I've learned that the hard way because I already booked it for 2 months. Except for this one little vent right next to my bed that I could roll over to me. Dude, it was torture. It was hell on earth.
Dude, I can just imagine like everything's like just crumbling in life. You're like, fuck this, dude. Like I'm whatever. I need a fresh start. Get a fresh start. You walk into the Airbnb. You're like, yo, where's the AC panel at?
And it's like a bungalow within like a strip of, it's like in one building with a strip of rooms on top and on bottom. Dude, it was not what it looked like online. And so that just added.
It's all right. Happens to the best.
That just added to the experience. And then the traffic, everything that you hear about LA is true. So it just got worse. I got really depressed, super anxious. And I bring this up for a reason. I'm going to tie it together later, but I got really depressed, really anxious. Well, first you get anxious and then anxiety usually leads to inaction. So that's what it led to for me. Like I had these things I had to do where it was like, okay, you're meeting with this person or that person. You're going to go take them in the field and this is what you're doing tomorrow. Okay, great. I'm going to do it. The next day would come. I wouldn't do it. I'd make up any excuse in the book not to show up. I just wouldn't do it. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to order Uber Eats. And then I got another Xbox so I could play. I didn't play video games in forever. And I went back to an Xbox, something comforting, right? Something to make me feel good, which obviously doesn't help either.
No.
That's not a solution. And I just would not show up to do the things I needed to do every day, like consistently. And so the anxiety turned to then depression because now I was like, I was realizing I wanted to do all these things and I needed to do these things. And I just was unable to get myself to freaking do them. And so that stacked on for months. And, you know, the company eventually reprieved me of my duty of director of sales, as they should. I went back to the Bay Area. They put me as just a sales rep. So they did the right call on that because eventually you got to freaking snap back into shape. They were understanding. They like let me, you know, be in this spot for a while. I couldn't get myself out of it, no matter how much I was aware of what was happening. I just couldn't freaking change it. It was a really shitty spot to be in. Because then it's even worse when you're aware of it. If you're not aware of it, you're just in it.
Yeah. It's,
but when you're aware of what you're doing and you're aware of this is not the move, you've read enough books to have the idea.
When you know you're spiraling and you're like, nah, that's all
right. And you just can't unspiral. And so I went back to Walnut Creek and at this point in time, I was living in my friend's living room. So like, you know, I managed to spend all my money and get negative in credit card debt. And I was living in my friend's living room. I put my bed in their living room. Shout out to Eric and Dean. Thank you guys.
Big shout out to Eric and Dean for letting him be a freaking bum.
Yeah, letting me be a bum on the living room. And they would go to the meetings and I would just stay back and I'd be like, I'm not going to the meetings with the company because it was like, I was just out of it at that point.
Yeah.
The company was like, yeah, just sell for a month and you can keep selling. I was like, okay, I'll just somehow get myself to do that. I was able to do that, but then they still let me go. So I was kind of pissed about, I was definitely pissed about that. I was like, I fucking did what you said and you're still letting me go.
Yeah, bro. I mean,
I was not good for culture though, right? Get that. But like I actually needed some bad shit to happen, but at this point I didn't know there was other companies. So, you know, when you first get in for me, when I first got in the real world, like this was my baby. And so when I was out of it, I was like, well, you know, social media wasn't big there. Solar companies weren't all over. People didn't know about solar. Like when I went home to tell people I did solar, it was a cool thing, but also kind of a weird thing. Cause they just didn't know anybody else doing it. Like there wasn't other people I knew doing it. It was just really rare.
Bro. Could you imagine, like, I feel that to 1,000, like, every bit of that, because I said this in one of the episodes of Past, where I got a phone with Andy, and he offered me a job, and was like, I don't know what you're going to get paid. I don't know what you're doing. And then, like, you know, I'm in Arkansas. Like, you know, like, I'm super glad that I was in Arkansas at the time because, like, there's nothing to do except for I was in the car business. I was working. And I went to a buddy's house, and, like, they're having, like, a little party, a little get-together. And I remember telling everybody that I was going to Arizona. And as I've said before, I was like, dude, I had no answers for nobody. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go do this thing in Arizona. They're like, what is it? And I was like, it's a sales training and coaching company? And they're like, who is the guy? And I'm like, it's Andy Elliott. Nobody, obviously nobody knows.
I'm selling sales.
I'm selling sales. And they're like, oh, good luck, bud.
Yeah.
And so, like, dude, I get that. And it's weird when, you know, like, you're in that moment and, you know, I obviously, like, you know about the money that was in solar at the time and nobody got it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck, I gotta explain myself. And then you gotta answer the weird questions. You're like, yo, is that really what I do? Like, I go to people's doors and knock on them and
yeah, if you break it down for someone, I like saying solar because it sounded like the future, right? It sounded like I was part of this new age technology. So that part, like, was attractive to me, and I like to be able to introduce it back home to the family. But then when you bring up that how you get businesses by knocking on doors, I didn't have anyone that was like hating on me and my family. You know what I mean? Everyone was pretty supportive, so I didn't experience that. But it is a weird thing explaining that you knock on doors for a living and how it works. Because it's just not a normal job at all. And it's also in California, so it's away from everybody. It's away from everything. So it was, you know, it was the best path I could have picked, but it was not the standard path for sure.
Here's one thing I want to ask, because, like, I got a lot of guys who are, you know, in door-to-door sales. And let's say it's solar, pest control, whatever it is.
Sure.
Door-to-door sales, like, it's really all the same except for the product or service that you're selling. And so, like, in that moment, like, dude, like, you're kind of struggling. And obviously we know what came to your success was just you put in the work, you put in the grind, you put in the effort, and you just, like, you leaned in. You had total immersion. Like, but what's a piece of advice that you would give for these guys? Because there's a lot of young cats that are getting into the industry that don't really know what to do because there's nobody telling them what to do. And there's nobody giving them that advice who's been ahead and then has built something big. Because there's a lot of people in the industry that are, you know, do as I say, not as I do, because they don't do it anymore. And so it's a good armchair quarterback.
Yeah,
you're still on the field. You're still getting after it every day. So what's something that you got for the young cats out there, man?
So if you're, is this for people that are already in the industry?
Dude, it could be for people coming into the industry, new to the industry, been in it for 10 years. I don't care. Drop some gold on them.
Dude, I'm just going to say you have to find somebody you believe in. So that's the same thing with the gym, the same thing with business, the same thing with, you know, if you're going to church, if you're spiritual, like, you need to have a pastor if you're in that space that you believe in. That you believe he's telling you the truth and you can learn from him. You need to have a coach like Aaron Williamson that you believe he actually knows what he's talking about. You need to have someone ahead of you that's closing or setting or leading that you believe in, that you know is putting you in a position to win and you know has the information to make you better. As long as you have someone ahead of you that you can believe in, I always say this, if there's power in the future, or if there's hope in the future, there's power in the present. Right. So as long as you believe that what you're doing in the future is going to be bright, like, you're going to take more action today and you're going to feel more energy. So first of all, you got to have that. So assuming you find an environment where you have that, you need to go find the top dog. You need to learn from them right away. And people say that all the time. When you go to learn from them, you don't just need to sit there like a puppy all day long. What you need to do is, and I hope you have this inside of you, you need to immediately go out with them and try to shadow them and learn from them. They want to help you, but then you have to go execute and show that you're listening to what they're saying and you need to do it quick. I only shadowed people for a day or two. Okay. And I was like, dude, I could do this better than you in my head, right? And maybe that's the ego, but there has to be a little bit of an ego drive to see success in this world. You have to have the belief in yourself. So get the information from that person and go do it and then go do it better. And then you can start rinsing and repeating. So in the beginning for me, my motivation was just, I can't go back with my tail between my legs. So it's like a push and a pull. You need to find a push and a pull in your life too. Because I can think about in 7 years, when did I have the most massive upswings? When were the downswings and how have I managed this past year to be constantly going up? Because I had to learn a lot to avoid the coaster. A lot of people go up and down. I'm like, dude, I'm done going up and down. I don't do that anymore. I'm only going up from now on because going down is painful and you start to question everything. So I don't ever want to do that. So you need to find push and pull. So every time I've had a catalyst to change, I had the push and pull. So first it was, I'm not going back. I'm not going back home with the tail between my legs.
Hell no.
I'm going to prove everybody back at FSU, everyone. I just had this assumption that they're all watching me.
Yeah.
You know, whether they are or not, it doesn't matter. They're not.
In reality, they're doing
they're not. But I just wanted to be the guy. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, that was my fear right there. And then also I had the pull, which was what I was going for. right? And what I wanted to go for was I told myself I was, and I told everybody this, I told them I all took a hundred, you know, I told them I took a 120K a year job, basically like as a salary job. That's the way I told everybody. Cause everyone's talking about the job they're about to have out of, after college.
Oh yeah.
Took a 60, 70K, 80K a year job. And the guy that got me to solar said he made 10K his first month. So I was just like, I took a $120,000 a year job. And so I was like, I kind of pinned myself to having to do this.
Oh, facts.
To making it where I told so many people how much money I was going to make and how much money I was making. I had to do it. So I had to stay accountable. So that was a cheat code, right? Because so many people have heard the words, and even if they remembered or not, I know they heard the words that I was going to make 120K a year and I was going to make it my first year. So I had both sides helping me. And then if you can find an enemy too, I had to find enemies. So my first enemy was this teacher, Pat Palatino.
Pat, I hope you're watching this.
And he was in the sales institution. And I never really tried hard in college for just about anything. But when I got into sales, I really liked that program because there was a professor, McHugh, who actually did sales and made good money in sales and then was teaching it. So it was like, it was real.
So he was like an Andy Elliott, but like a college version.
Yeah, yeah, professor version. Nothing like Andy, right? But he had success in real life. To me, it was a lot of success. And so I was like, it was cool to learn from someone that actually was doing it, not someone that's a theorist. Most professors are theorists. They never put it into action.
Yeah, not practice.
So I just can't buy into them. I can't listen to them. They don't have the black and white or evidence behind them. So I've just always been good at avoiding people that don't have the results. I can't really listen. And so then I had this guy. He was great. And then I wanted to join the sales team. It was the number one sales team in all of the country, right? And I never wanted to join anything in college, by the way, like besides, you know, like fraternity party, the parties.
The only thing that you were hopping into was the Uber to go to a next bar.
I don't even know if there was Uber. That was it. That was about all I was hopping into. Like I was on a different kind of mission.
You were on a warpath.
So for me to want this was in and itself a big deal. I was on a warpath for sure. Yeah, anyway, not going to say anything on that. But so then I applied for it and we had to do all these different things, all these role plays. We had to do all these, you know, not only role plays, but then we had to get into this. There's this one event where there's like 100 tables. Every table had five people. And then you had like the CEO or an executive at this company, at a company, a real company, that you would have to give a 60-second elevator pitch and then it would rotate the people. And you had to perform it at like five different tables and you had to do it custom tailored to that company. So you had to be
able, any time to prepare, or was it just off the cuff?
You had time to prepare. I'm
guessing you
went out the night before. I went out the night before,
as expected.
I created a concoction to get myself jazzed up in the morning.
Yeah,
and then I got there, and because I was in bad shape, but I got a perfect score. And there was only one other person who got a perfect score there. I crushed all the role plays, dominated. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be on the sales team. Pat Palatino denied me because he heard that I had a rather big and broad, bodacious, whatever you want to call it, social life. I was rambunctious. I had a big social life.
You were the Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like he denied me because of what he heard I was doing in my nightlife and how it was with women and in the fraternity and yada, yada. So because of that, he denied me, even though I had all of the qualifications to get in there and I was miles better than everybody else. So that was my enemy going out there. I was like, nice. Dude, I'm going to fucking go back to this college. And I'm gonna get in front of his class. I'm gonna get in front of his class. I'm gonna talk about how I was the one who fucking made it. And so if you don't make it onto this sales team, or if someone doesn't give you what you deserve, like it's your time to go show them what the fuck's up. And it's like, and you can then come back here just like I am and look at a teacher just like I'm looking at the teacher and show them what's up.
So I have a question. Yeah. Have you gone back?
I went back, but I have not got in front of the class. So I haven't done it.
Pat Palatino, if you're still speaking, Bubba, you better be ready, bro.
It was kind of like I got to the point where I felt like I had enough success and I went back and I still believe one day I'm going to do it and it kind of fuels me.
Yeah, just like it's a little bit of an ego nugget.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, it's just got so much power.
Dude, it was my enemy. It was my enemy. Gosh. I was like that lived in me and then I had what I wanted to hit and what I wanted to do. And then even sometimes too with goals, right? Like first I wanted to have a BMW i8 and then once I had the money to get one, I just didn't get one. It's just kind of cool to be able to do it or cool to defeat your enemy in your head sometimes, then you're good.
Oh yeah.
So my advice to you guys is like find enemies. We all have enemies. And Patrick McDavid just wrote a book, Choose Your Enemies Wisely, which is crazy because he kind of really put it and pieced it together in a way that articulated everything that like explained my big massive jumps of success. And then also explained when I didn't have as much success. And so I kept finding new enemies. And now when I left that company or when I got fired from that company, Who was my enemy? The guy that fired me. The guy that let me go and did me dirty. And so I went to another company and I freaking built that thing overnight. Like I blew up super fast, brought in everybody. I had a lot of influence and it was because I had the enemy. I had rocket fuel.
Oh yeah.
I was playing a J. Cole song every morning. Like blank, 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 be counting me out. I'm loading my clip. Dude, I was playing it every morning in the shower.
That was every, a theme song, bro. Deion Sanders, give me my theme music.
It was my theme song every morning. And I was just thinking about him. And I was thinking about what I was going to do. And I wanted to take him down. Dude, I wanted to kill him.
Dude, that's straight up total immersion. We're definitely going to get it. I love it, dude. YouTube's going to love this episode. I'm fucking fired up.
Dude, so I went deep down that, bro. Yeah, and like, dude. I just wanted to
win.
Like, not physically kill them. But like, I just wanted to take everything they had.
Oh, 100%.
And I wanted to do it the right way. I wasn't doing it in a wrong way. I wanted to do it in a way where it was like, I'm just so undeniable. I started getting really loud on social media. That's when I started getting loud. That's when I started my like, I'm stirring the pot kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so I saw the value in doing that because that gets a lot of attention. Oh. And then as long as it's done with, you know, the right side in mind and you're doing good and you're able to bring people into doing better, then it's an amazing tool. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, dude, if you find the enemy, you have the goal. And then you're around leaders that you have hope in, you have belief in.
It's the game changer.
Dude, if you combine that little, and then you got to put in the massive work, right? Delete distractions and go. But if you have that, like you can, your energy levels are so much greater. Like calories create energy, right? And so calories, you're limited. Even if you have the right amount of calories, you're going to sustain a certain amount of energy. When you have both of those, there's this invisible force, this dark energy. I call it dark energy. Like I got Bane Chain. I call it dark energy. Some people may think that's bad, but I think it's good. And I got this dark energy, which gives me so much more fuel. And I could see my eyes versus other people's eyes. I got a lot more in them than them. And I can keep going a lot longer than they can go. And it's because I got both sides freaking working for me. And I know they don't have that. They just got some calories, bro. They got a donut.
Yeah.
They just don't have it yet. And maybe they have one side, but it's just not enough.
Dude, and that's the game changer. And, you know, like, I remember Patrick Bet-David. Like, I'm a big Patrick Bet-David fan. You know, he's a guy who's kind of a mentor to me. Not to the level of Andy, but, you know, somebody that I have a lot of respect for. I've been watching him for a couple of years now. And I remember whenever, the second he dropped Choose Your Enemies Wisely, got onto the book, started reading it immediately. But he said, if you want to see a side to yourself that you've never seen before, nobody else has ever seen before, choose the right enemy. And that right there will give you a new identity, a new version of yourself that will allow you to do things that you haven't been able to previously accomplish because you're not the same person anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the way that you're operating. And so like, dude, I remember back when we were in the, you know, back in the school of, you know, in Arizona, you know, just right down the road, which I don't know if you've ever had a chance to drive by it, but it's literally like 10 minutes down the road, bro. Like that's where we were operating out of. This thing was like kind of, you know, it was the first like real lines then outside of Norman, Oklahoma, which I mean, I remember working in there. It was 700 square feet. I mean, it was barely bigger than this room and the room next over. And that was the Lion's Den. And we're like, we're the best in the world. And we're screaming it from a broom closet. And then we got to Arizona. And then, you know, it's a little bit bigger, a little bit better. But I remember we had the right enemies at that time, dude. And it was just like straight up pure focus, grind. Like everybody was on the same mission. Everybody's at the same gym at 5 a.m, getting after it. Then we're at the office immediately after. Next thing you know, at noon, everybody full stops. We're eating food together because we're all broke. Let's just call a spade a spade. So we're cooking chicken and steak on the grill that we had. That was just right out back. We'd all stop, grub up real quick. And I mean, it was kind of like a frat house. Like it was like massive. Like we're all just running around just wild and free. Like Andy's like, yeah, do what you got to do. Like create attention. So we're running with no shoes on, no shirts on. Ryan's doing what Ryan does, you know, big IE. And the Macklins are just, you know, running around like crazy. And, you know, the 7-8 of us, dude, we were just given everything that we had, but we had the right enemy in our head, which we've already demolished. I mean, like we can't bring that up. I mean, they're gone.
Thou shall not be named.
Yeah. Voldemort, bro.
Voldemort.
He who shall not be named. And so, like, our goals were different then. And now, like, we're expanding. We're finding great partners like you. Like, our enemies have ever evolved.
Yes.
And they continue. And, like, you find that right one. Like, dude, there's just no better feeling. Like, it makes me run through a wall.
Yes.
And so, I know that was a big play for you. And for everybody that's watching it, you're like, yo, an enemy. Like, that sounds like, why do I need an enemy? Because, you like, there's a lot of good things that happen when you dominate in business. There's, like, you make good money. You get more free time. You know, you can be able to do everything in the world that you want. And all of, like, this, the materialistic things in the world that you feel like you need. But when you defeat something that you set your mind out to defeat, like, there's no greater feeling than, you know, conquering the land.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to think in the back of, like, the war times, bro, you're a Viking, you pull up with the long boats, next thing you know, you have to go get off the boat and go take the land in front of you.
Yep.
And so, I guarantee you, there's no better feeling when you get to the other side of the island because everything else in between was destroyed because you showed up. And that's the stuff that gets me fired up.
Same, dude.
And so, you got fired from that one company, you build the next one, you know, you kick ass with that one. Did you get fired from the second one?
No, the second one, I went off to Florida right during COVID.
Oh.
And I had, because I was just in California, and I had a team that wanted to come from selling, what was it? They were selling timeshares, right? And timeshares weren't very good during the being COVID. Not many people buying timeshares.
No.
And so not I went,
many people buying anything.
I went to Florida. I wasn't going to move there originally. I was just going to train this team and then go back to California, but I was able to go to restaurants again. I was able to go to the gym again. California was shut down hard.
Ron DeSantis, bro.
Man, it's amazing how much freedom makes you happier. Humans need to be autonomous. Otherwise, for me, I hate everything.
Unless you're just a straight up NPC, then you need...
NPCs need to be controlled.
Exactly.
And that is good for them.
And that is exactly what they will do.
There's a place.
And that's why I'm glad I was in Arkansas for most of COVID, because COVID happened. It was like 1 week long. We're like, oh my God, we're wearing masks. And then everybody was like... Ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be around the bonfire, you know, just hanging out, and nobody be in a mask. And be like, all right, cool. At the dealership, I'd be like, hey, you want me to have my mask on? They're like, don't wear it.
Yeah.
All my customers, don't let me see you wearing the one.
That's a great environment. Bro. Yeah.
Dude, great.
So that's why I just ended up, it also takes longer than a week to train a team up in a new industry. So between those two variables, I was like, I'm staying for another month. And then I was like, I'm moving here. Because if I'm going to build this, I need to be here. It was also a nice change of pace. Because I felt like I was growing again because I had a new challenge. I already had teams up there running. Now I'm building a team from scratch in a new market in a brand new place with brand new people. So I was like, it was energizing me. And so I tapped into what was energizing me. I'm like, I'm moving here. And, you know, we had some steam. We didn't have any massive success or anything. We started having some success. And I also wasn't like the best me yet. I was still messing around. Like, I would still go out and drink. I would still have fun, and I still wouldn't be 100% all the time. I'd be really on, and then I'd be a little bit off. So I was still up and down as a leader, which isn't great. No. But then it got to the point where they basically told me if I was going to stay down there, they were going to take away they called overrides, right? The money I was making from the teams I built up there, which is like, well, I didn't build that, you know, I have a baby over there. You want to like kill my baby so I can build this baby. I thought we're in this together kind of deal. And so that rubbed me the wrong way. And I see their perspective on it, right? Because they're like, well, we need to reallocate the money over here to other people that are here. I'm like, but I built that. So, you know, ultimately just decided, okay, we're going to part ways. So completely part ways, because at that point I was like, I'm going to stay in Florida. So this means I'm going to give up, you know, all my overrides. And so I had to give up a huge amount of money that I was making to do this, to start my own company. I had to give up quite a bit of money to make the switch. And I know it was going to take time to get back to that place. I had never started my own company. So I knew I had to figure out all these pieces. Luckily, I was in the industry for 4 years. So I learned a lot of things all the fundamentals I needed to have to grow a team, to build and scale that I had, but then the relationships, the partnerships, the tech, the payroll, all these other pieces I had to learn how to do. And that was definitely daunting at first, but it was a challenge I was excited to take on because it was, you know, the humans are genuinely happy. Like, people are always like, what makes you happy? How do you find happiness? And some people are like, find what you love, find what you want to do. And I'm like, dude, no, actually, I think the way you really figure out how you can have happiness on a daily basis is if you feel like you're becoming better at something in your life, you'll create happiness for yourself. And if you feel like you're becoming better in multiple pillars, like business, spiritual, fitness, your bank account, that's when you have a lot of happiness all of a sudden. Like, the more of those pillars that you feel like you're becoming better in, the more happiness you create. But if it lopsides too much into one and you lose the other, then it can go the other direction. And so I felt like this was an opportunity to become better. And that's when I made the pivot and started Spartan Solar 3 years ago, almost just barely over 3 years ago right now.
Damn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we start the company, obviously, you know, you start getting everything figured out, which in present day, obviously at the end of the day, like, we know that it became very successful. You guys are crushing it. You're killing it. You're doing an amazing job. And dude, I got nothing to, I say this, man, there's going to be a lot of men in this world that'll die before, you know, the first time they get their flowers is when it's on their casket. And so, bro, I want to give you your flowers right now, but Also, I don't because you're nowhere close to done, bro.
Not at all.
Nowhere close to done. Like, just watching your guys' company grow. Like, I remember I seen the Bane chain the other day, and I was like, yo, Tom, what the hell is that about? And you're like, oh, I got something to tell you. Which, if I'm not mistaken, you said one of your guys got one.
I gave Anthony one. I gave him one because we created a Bane Award that we give it every year.
Tell everybody what the Bane Award is.
It's like a nice, like, $20,000 pendant of diamonds that's crafted for Bane, engineered for Bane. The Bane Award is the person that causes the most damage for good, right? So that brings that good to the company and is able to do the most damage in a sense. And whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, he's able to pull in a lot of people. He's able to disrupt the balance. And just like Bane, who was working in the night, he was working for months, putting together a team, right? This team was putting bombs all over Gotham. They're creating this system there. No one knew that was happening underneath the scene, behind the scenes. And then what happens next? He shows up on that football stadium and it blows up and he owns Gotham. He owns all of Gotham.
Yeah, dude.
He owns it all. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I can get behind that message. I like the idea. And I adopted that identity this past year when I decided to stop being freaking soft. You know, because the year before I got soft in business and it cost me a lot.
Oh, I guarantee you.
It cost me a lot of money, cost me a lot, cost me a lot of everything. And this year I went the other way. Like, that's why I'm like, I'm done with the hippy dippy shit. I'm done with the fugazi. I do Wim Hof. Like, I do all these things that people talk about, but I am not going soft. I'm not going to live in my past. I'm not going to live and talk about my traumas. I'm not going to sit in this other place where talk to me about your childhood and what you went through. Because I went down that path thinking that's how you get better as a person.
Yeah.
And for me, maybe for some, if it works for you, fantastic. But for me, what that did is it made me soft and it made me very bad at predictions. I stopped becoming good. I stopped getting good at listening to people. And I started getting a lot more complacent. And I was complacent because I was soft. I wasn't fired up and fueled up. I wasn't in my freaking energy state. I wasn't like manly. You know what I mean? I wasn't like primal. Yeah. I lost the primal edge during that. So I wasn't like fighting for my life, like looking for survival. And that happened the previous year. And what did it cost me? Well, I wasn't paying attention to signs and symptoms that was happening within the business, within our partnerships. I was ignoring the whispers. And so I ended up hearing the screams. And so what ended up happening was we had an installer go out of business and I didn't know they're going out of business because there's a bunch of shady business going on within that partnership. And all the money flows to them. Then it flows to me. Then I pay my people. And so we ended up losing millions of dollars overnight. And I didn't have millions of dollars to lose because I also had to pay my people. And so I ended up selling a bunch of Bitcoin so I could pay a lot of the people. Now, there's some people I haven't even paid yet because there's no way to pay everybody on a thing you never get paid on. The way the system works is you get paid, then you pay your people because they get the lion's share. The companies don't make the lion's share in this industry. It's flipped on its head. It used to be companies make the biggest margin and the sales reps make what they make. But in this industry, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. And so all of that happened. And while that went down, and mind you, this is all because I was soft this year. I already had the ideas of things I wanted to change and ideas of what to do. And I had this whole plan in July before it all happened. It all happened right around Thanksgiving. Like, I found out the final homestretch news of this like 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Oh, so this is very recent.
Yeah, not this past Thanksgiving, but the previous one.
Well, okay. So
just a little over a year ago. And I found out all the news and it was just like a bombshell went off. All of a sudden, you know, one of my leaders, Zach, he tells me, he's like, so where are you going to be Monday? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be in the Orlando office. He's like, I don't think you're coming back to an office. Cause he basically heard from everyone around him and through the grapevine that everyone was leaving Spartan Solar.
What a fucking phone call.
Yeah. And so one of my leaders, like at that time, which I brought in from the beginning, he just betrayed me. Like, he leveraged this opportunity instead of like helping me and wanting to be with me and support me through it. And I can't even blame him. Like, you know, if you want to make a move, you make a move. But I gave him a lot for him to do this to me. I gave him a lot for this to happen without him doing a lot to earn it. And so he ended up just telling everyone a narrative that I was the bad guy, right? Telling everyone that this wasn't really happening, which it affected a lot of companies. So it really happened.
Oh, facts.
It was a big deal. It was all over the news, everything. So it wasn't ideal. And so basically overnight, like 75% of the company was gone. Some went with him, some went other places. And you know, when there is uncertain times and there is uncertainty, that's my fault. Like, I was the leader there. So like, I had to check myself and reinvent the entire business model that Spartan created. And we built software now to solve a lot of these problems. And we built systems and relationships that just make this growth and scale possible. But none of that would have happened if I didn't go through this massive adversity. Because last January, just a little over a year ago, we were at like 30 people. Like that, we were small and we were basically brand new back to being a baby. And before we got up to, you know, 80, 90, I think we got to at max, maybe 100. And then now flash forward to today, we're at about, 400 people.
Which is freaking awesome, dude. And like that exponential growth is just a telltale sign of what can happen truly in a year. Like that.
It's the coolest thing to think about.
Dude.
Everyone should hear that story just because, dude, you can change your entire life in 1 year. Like in 1 year, everything can flip for you. But I had a massive enemy in who betrayed me there. Like, and it was personal and it was deep. And I wanted to burn his eyes out with our success. I wanted that so bad. That's like it. With every freaking inch of me. It was the most impactful enemy I had ever at that time. And then I also had a goal when I went to Door-to-Door Con. I went to that event last other year, but I went there with no team. I was like five people. And so I was like, nothing, dude. And I went there like five people and I saw people getting golden doors. And I was like, damn it, next year I'm going to be on stage for a golden door. Because what could I control at that time? Not me being a massive company, but I can control me selling a bunch of solar and leading from the front. So I was like, I'm going to get a golden door. So came back in January and sold a bunch of solar for like three blitzes. I got to like 60 accounts, like 600 kilowatts, which puts me about half the way to a golden door.
Because it's a megawatt, 100 doors.
And so I did like 3 months. I was halfway there with just like three blitzes while I was trying to build and operate the new company, right? And then what happened is everything just flipped. All of a sudden, the new business model that was created out of this adversity, the new structure, the new systems started to catch fire and started to catch traction in the industry. And all of a sudden people were coming over. Now teams were coming over. So now we went from like growing by addition to growing by multiplication. So the new business model, it didn't only solve their problems and wanting to stick with Spartan Solar and believe that this was a great place to be and where you could really help the homeowners, put them in a great position. But it also turned out to be the freaking perfect solution to attracting top talent and attracting teams that also wanted to be able to build their teams. So we flipped the business model on its head from whatever. And I had a lot of mentors, two mentors specifically, that told me what I was doing was not a good idea. The way I switched the margins, the way I switched the operations, like, dude, you shouldn't do that. And so I had to actually like stop talking to my mentors because I was like, I know you're saying this and I like listening to you on almost everything, but I was like, I'm going to just double down on this approach. I'm just going to double down. So I stopped talking to them for many months. And then lo and behold, like time caught up to my idea. And all of a sudden we just start blowing up. And then we have teams coming over. Now we have teams coming over all the time.
Well, dude, the thing that's powerful is like,
And by the way, I just want to say one last thing that, so I didn't get the golden door, right? Because I got into growth mode because all the recruits were coming over. So I had to
become a leader,
had to change it. I had to become a better CEO. But what I did get was back on stage. I got on stage though, but I was on the recruiting panel, which is funny. Cause that's like part of what I do, right?
Yeah.
That's part of what's exciting, but I still made it on stage at Door-to-Door Con. So I killed my enemy and I made it on stage. So I managed to get both at that moment,
which is everything, which is, it's so funny because like, sometimes we think like that's our goal, but in reality, as we start to push and we go all in and we have total immersion and we're just attacking, we're building the momentum. Our goal might just be something, but it's just like a little translation over to the side a little bit. Like it's something where it is that, but it's just a little bit different, but it's always a little bit better when we go all in. And what I was saying is like, it seems like, you know, in the door-to-door space, there's a lot of uncertainty about people being able to plant roots and build for the long term. Cause you see it, there's a lot of young people in the space who are around my age, your age, they're the team leaders and the managers, the district managers, like they're the ones who are running part of the companies and everything like that. And so to see that you're thinking like, okay, I want something where people can come in, build a team and have sustainability.
Yes.
Like, dude, that's something that is not common. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on that though.
No, I mean, I call it like the hybrid model because, you know, there's times where you join and a lot of people join a big company where that big company has a lot of systems. They have the tech, they have the leadership, they have the operations. They have great closers, great setters. They have good people there, right? And they're a bigger company, but it comes at a high cost, meaning like, you know, you get put in solar industry at a baseline, right? So the higher the baseline, the more expensive it is to be at that company, basically. Yeah. Meaning there's like margin that's going to other leaders in the company. And once you get to a point where you get really good at setting, get really good at closing, and then you get good at building teams and duplicating yourself, most people, including myself, and this, I wanted to capture people just like me. I just want to work with freaking people that got into the same place I got to and create a vehicle that gave them everything they wanted without having to go through beyond this side or this side. So that side is where they say it comes with the culture and you get all this other stuff with it. And people usually stay in those kind of companies for a while and it's a really good start. But then at a certain point, you start to be like, I don't think I'm getting enough value for the margin I'm giving up. And this doesn't really make sense because I feel like I'm capped out and I can't really scale. And you can keep scaling there, but you just have this like feeling inside of you. And so then a lot of people go, okay, I'm going to go and become my own company in the solar industry. And they're like, that's the next option. And being your own company, what people don't realize, and you could talk to a lot of people running companies, they don't make nearly as much money as you think, right? Like they may act like they do. They may not talk about the fact that they don't. And that's because they want to uphold an image of success. But if you're truly building a new company, you're investing a lot back into your people. You're investing a lot back into your team. You're also usually making less than everyone, or you're making way less than everyone else, first
of all. Yeah, you're the last to get paid.
Yeah, you're the last to get paid. But like, and it takes a lot of time for that to flip over to where you now start making more money than you've ever made before. It takes so much time and effort. And then you have to build an operations team. So you take on a lot of expenses. And you know, our expenses as a company are freaking high every single month. And they're good because we're super efficient. So we've like, they're higher than I ever had before, but they're really good out of because of our efficiency. But when you go that route, you don't have a lot of backing to attract top talent. You don't have a lot of machine, like systems and tech. You don't have a lot of the foundation to retain really good talent. So you could go start your own company and maybe make more money on with if it's just you and a couple guys, but you're not going to really be able to scale that well. And if you do, congrats and hats off to you. It's just going to be really freaking tough. So those are the two options most people live in. I wanted to create the like the hybrid model, where it's right in between, a little bit closer to being your own company in a sense, where you get all the tools, all the resources, all the training, all the leadership. And I think we're adding more leadership, more training than anybody else.
Oh, facts.
Between what we're doing with Andy, what we're going to do with other people, you know, the systems we're bringing in, like I think we're just providing way more than any other company ever has and ever will. And it's just going to keep getting more. The competitions, everything else. But while you get all that, which is what people usually pay top dollar for, you also come in at close to like being your own company pricing, because we can leverage our volume to give you very similar, very close to what you'd get as a pricing from going direct to them. And so in doing so, and then giving you full autonomy to build your company, your division, that's what we call them, the division, the way you want to, meaning you're able to control your guys' red lines, their pricing, your override, their split. So you can build it in the best way possible to help fuel your growth. And this way you have full autonomy over your own structure. And so if you need to give someone a good deal, you can. If you're a really valuable leader providing a lot of value, you can extract that value. And so this creates a hub where you can come in and actually build a business. And then what do? You just duplicate the things we're doing. We get you on the podcast. We get you to run the podcast. We build your brand. We build your division's brand. We build your identity. We give you the systems. And then we just freaking want to blow you up. And then because of how many recruits we bring in through working with Andy and through all this, all these just the energy we have and attention we have, we're able to help build your freaking team, which is the most valuable thing in the world. You know, we could just add a ton of fire, right? A ton of fire and a ton of fuel on top of that fire that you already have. Now, if I always say this too, like if you're dead, we can't help you come back to life.
No.
Like if you're a leader that doesn't have any life in you, like, dude, I don't got you. Like, I just don't have that. I don't have that in me. But if you got a fire that's already kind of, you know, it's, there's a fire there. Dude, we can 100% throw gasoline on you and get you freaking ripping and roaring. And that's what we've gotten really good at. And that's what I love, because I love to bring the best leaders and talent and bring them all under one umbrella. My dream is just to have the best leaders in this entire industry all in one place, all within Spartan Solar, all with their own brands, their own identities, all becoming the best they've ever been, right? Becoming super close with the greatest influence and the greatest minds in the world. Like, that's why I'm here all the time. Like, I want to bring that to everybody and help raise everybody up and pull everybody with me. And that makes it really fun for me, because then I get to level up every day. And when we do quarterly leadership retreats, dude, now I'm in a room full of freaking gangsters, right?
It feels good.
It feels good. You're like, dude, you're a gangster, you're a gangster, you're a gangster. None of you are weirdos. None of you are creepers.
Like, you can be yourself. It's like hanging with the boys, man.
You're hanging with the boys. And like every time we do these leadership retreats with all of our guys, and shout out to our leaders, I'm like, I look around, I'm like, dude, I freaking love everybody here. Like, I love everybody here. There's not one person I wouldn't spend a week with in a cabin. There's not one person that I wouldn't want to have a conversation with or I'd want to avoid. There's no clicks. And I think that's super rare. And like, I just want to keep growing that, because that's like a big fuel for me. And then guess what happens? Now you get to learn from the best leaders in one umbrella, and you get to figure out how to take the best ideas and put them into action within your own team.
And that's fucking just, that's what kills it, bro.
Yeah.
And so obviously at the end of the day, if there's going to be people who are listening to this or watching this, there's going to be some people that are going to want an opportunity. And so should they, number one, DM you or text?
So, I mean, you could DM me. That's probably the best.
Okay. Make sure you DM the Alex H. Smith.
Yeah, you could. There's two things. You could DM me on Instagram, Alex H. Smith. And then in my bio, you ever heard link? Click the link in bio, right?
Click the link in my bio.
That shit. But you know what? It's convenient.
It is convenient.
It works at scale because you got to have systems to scale. And so this is another system where you put in questionnaire, a little information on you, a 60-second video, and then you'll get through screening and an interview, and then you have a final interview with one of our leaders if everything makes sense. And if you're a bigger player in this industry, like, dude, we're just going to talk one-on-one. We're going to see if we're in alignment with the shit we believe in. Like, if you like the shit we do and you believe in the stuff we believe in, and you want to run the way we run, and we're super competitive. Like, it's not a normal group by any means. Like, it is the most aggressive, competitive, but super loving team in the world.
So if you're a little kitty baby weenie, you know, a little kitty wampus.
Kitty wampus. Yeah.
If you're kitty wampus, don't apply.
Yeah. Because you're going to take things the wrong way.
Yeah. 100%.
Don't apply.
Yeah. Just don't apply. You know, if you're not here to try, don't apply.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
100%.
There's a little recruiting slogan. If you're not here to try, don't apply.
That's good.
Just fucking kick rocks and go kick that rock around until it's a perfect sphere. That's how long ago do it. But dude, like, I love talking about winning. I love talking about the fire, the drive, the passion, like everything that makes you guys special. But obviously you're the CEO of the company and you've got a lot of responsibility and there's a lot of people that look up to you. And dude, you don't get to this point without having to deal with a lot of things that we regret, the failures, the losses when the lights are off, because that's where the real change is made, is when nobody's around you, you're by yourself, and you're just taking the fucking L on the chin. You know what I mean? So I want to talk about the number one thing that, like,
you, by the way, right, just now, hearing that shit gives me chills, because I'm like, dude, when you feel this and you figure this stuff out and you start learning it, you become dangerous. Dangerous.
I want to know about one thing that you regret that you know now that you like now in this moment, but like a thing that you regret that you didn't do.
Okay. I would say one thing I wish I would have done. I'll do two things. One thing I wish I would have done sooner was I wish I would have stopped drinking sooner. I stopped drinking 2.5 years ago, and that helped me build the business. And it's not necessarily that I believe everyone should stop drinking. It's that for me, I realized that led to the most bad habits in my life. Like, that one habit, that one vice would lead to all the others, right? It was like a snowball effect. And when I stopped drinking, the company started going up. And I 100% can say there's no way I would have been able to handle the adversity and the massive challenges I experienced, through the experience of building my own company. If I was drinking, I would have turned to the vice. I would have turned to looking for girls with that. Like, I would have turned to the alternative, the easy alternative. And I would not have pushed through the most challenging moments in my life in a way that was going to build the business and myself better.
Okay.
So one, I would have stopped doing that even sooner, because I would be a lot further along. I would have had more clarity. You get really clear when you don't have the wrong things going into your body. Especially that for me. Two, let me think of the second one. Which one is what would I stopped? What would I have?
Just one thing that, like, you regret either doing or not doing.
One thing I really regret doing. What do I regret doing the most?
Like,
I'm trying to think of, like, what I really regret, and I want to make sure it's the right answer, right? I just want to throw something out there.
Yeah, we can sit here for 5 minutes in silence.
I want to make sure it's something I really feel. I regret, not this past year, but the previous year, I regret not listening well. I regret the fact that I wasn't listening. I was ignoring beige flags, red flags. I was ignoring a lot. I wasn't listening really well to my people. I should have just seen the writing on the wall for what was going to happen. And so I regret not listening more. And because I wasn't listening, I had the wrong information, because the information was coming from my freaking head. And my head didn't have all the answers, and I didn't know all the problems. And so this past year, I got really good at listening. Like, I listen to all my leaders. It's the biggest cheat code in this business. If you can just listen to your people and they feel okay telling you what's going on, and they could bring up their friction points, what's causing them stress as a leader, what's taking them away from the eye on the, you know, keeping their eyes on the prize, what's hurting their people, making them feel less confident or inspired or whatever it may be. If you can, and I started listening to that, and then I can show them through speed, which means I can hear what they say and then I could take action on it quickly, and I could make change based on what I'm learning. Because if you listen to people, and this, I heard this somewhere, if you listen to someone, you listen to their friction, you listen to whatever they're going through, and you're listening in a way where to them, they feel like you're going to make a change for it, but then you don't make a change and you don't apply anything you learn. That's worse than not listening at all. Because now they just think and we've all experienced as people that they just listen to what we say and they're like, yeah, I'm going to be on it. I got you. I'm going to do this thing. And then nothing ever happens. And you're like, you're just pandering me. Like
useless.
I hate what you're doing. And yeah. So you start to like, just freaking like, oh, frick. They're so nice, but they're fake.
Yeah. It's the worst thing in the world. Like, I'd rather just not tell you and just not tell you and deal with it than tell you and then nothing come from it. Because you're just like, dude, you waste my time. You're fucking useless. Now I don't trust you with anything I tell you. I don't believe that you can deliver. Why are we even in the same room? And so, dude, that's a good one.
And so then I just started applying it all. That's why in the quarterly leadership retreats and, you know, through text, everything else. But I just try to get constant feedback on what we could do better, what they're experiencing. And then I just go to war. I just go execute on these things. So that way I don't have to be the genius. Because otherwise you got to be the genius. You got to be the all-seeing eye. And there's things I think I know. And you think you're always right about what you spend your priorities and your time on. And it's just not always what people care about. And the people are the most important part of the business. And so when you can adopt listening and then executing, we call it speed and trust. When you can adopt those principles, you become a really freaking dangerous leader, which is why I think I have the edge on just about everybody else. I don't think anybody else is listening as well as I do. I don't think anyone else is willing to change and throw away what was their idea or what seemed like a great idea, what took forever to build. I don't think anyone's willing to throw it away and start from scratch and build the way that needs to be built.
What nobody wants to do is, everybody says, give me the can of worms, but nobody wants to fucking crack it open.
Yeah.
Because the can of worms is not beautiful. It fucking sucks. That's why Andy, when he's like, hey, tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to, like, give me the baby, no labor pains.
Yes.
Like, tell me what's true. Tell me what it is. Tell me, like, right now. And
you know that's what he wants.
Exactly.
He wants the real.
Because every time Andy's ever told me that he was going to do something, he did it in a fraction of the time, and he has 100% success rate of actually doing it.
Yeah.
And so, dude.
And that's part of it. Like, and this is another thing that really stood out to me. I think about often, and I get caught in all of these. But like the lowest level of communication is just talking about other people, right? That's why you see the haters online and stuff. And and don't get me wrong, I like to talk about other people and shit talk because I'm just like, I'm coming for their throats and I have this thing, but I don't live in there.
No.
Right? And you can see this when you go talk to maybe old friends or old family or people that are living a little bit more like normal life.
Yeah.
Like they still talk about like people and they still talk about
the gossip,
random shit that's going on. And I can't even listen. So that's the lowest level of communication. Then you go a step up and you start talking about ideas. So I love talking about ideas with everyone. Like I love talking about ideas with you, with Andy, like everybody around me in my company, like just talking about ideas and like how we're going to take over the world. Like that shit is a different frequency. And then the highest level of communication is talking about executing on ideas. Now that is a magical place to live where most people don't spend much time. That's when you have the ideas and then you're not just talking about the ideas and how great it would be to do this thing, but you're talking about what the fuck can we do to bring this to life? And then if you have enough people around you where there's like this person for the tech, this person for this person for that, and I see that in this organization, right? You have all these people that can go execute. I witness Andy go over here and he's like, I learned this one thing from this company that's doing a ton in virtual sales and the way they're handling lead flow. And then I'm not going to spill what it was, but he goes on and explains, this is what we're changing. It's going to solve all of our problems on this. We're going to get way better. And he has two people next to him and he tells them exactly what he needs to do. He's like, can we get this done by the end of the day? Can we get this done by the end of the day and change our entire system, the way it's operating, our flow? And I don't remember if they said yes or no, but like he was able to make that change and he had the people to go execute on the system. Cause now it's like, here's the idea. How can we execute? And you have the right people around you. And when you live in that level of communication, guess what happens? Shit gets done. People feel validated. People feel like they're being heard. And then you're building a business that's never the same. It's exactly. Always getting better.
It's always changing.
Yeah.
Dude, I got to say that's probably like the greatest way that on the podcast that anybody's ever, you know, been able to describe environment. You know, just like one is just like straight up gossip. Like that's the lowest tier. Like I feel like I lose IQ points when I talk to certain
Andy,
people.
I've never seen participate in at all. I still participate in some because I'm still, you know, evolving and I still like to shit talk.
We're all learning.
And, but Andy, like he literally doesn't participate in it ever. And I watch how he rolls. I watch how he acts. He doesn't talk bad on anyone. He just talks about how he's going to win and burn everyone's eyes out. Like He just focuses on the good he's doing. And you learn a lot from being around the highest level players and the people that actually follow through on what they say they're going to do. And he's a man that follows through on what he says he's going to do over and over again.
Every single time.
Because he lives in this other land of ideas and execution. He lives in the right land.
Dude, and you know what's the best part about it is it's absolutely, it's not terrifying. It's something that's where it's like so exciting that like literally like I lose sleep at night just thinking about where are we going to be at in a couple of years? Because if we've done this in just a few short years, what's it going to look like when we hit the decade mark with the team that we have? Like how big is the company then? Because I know one thing, Andy is not anywhere close to slowing down. I know that our core team isn't close to slowing down, our tech team. Like everything that's happening is all growing at a crazy rate, and so is your company.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's the thing that I get really excited about because I'm like, damn, dude, at the end of the day, we're going to look up in 2-3 years, and you're going to have, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 reps running around the United States and just attacking.
Yeah.
And so I want to know – next year goal, or like over this next year, not like 2025, but 2024, like what's in the pipeline? What's future? What's some of the things that, you know, are like the future expectations that we're making of the company? Of like,
okay, let me break down how I do business. Cause I think that's super important to break down how I think, how I operate, how I set goals. What are the targets? So, and you know, this is something Bradley has talked about, but he usually sets everything within a 3-month span, like what he's going to do in the next quarter. Because after that, it's kind of, it feels far away. And it doesn't have as much energy behind it, right? It doesn't. Besides for me being on stage, I don't know why, but when I think about being on stage at an event, like that fires me up. And what do I have to do to get on stage? I got to do big shit. What's the big shit? I don't know. I just got to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, figure it out later. It's all figured out.
But for me, it's like, all right, what are we going to do? Well, January, we're going to not have a slow season like everybody else. We're going to go freaking throw down volume. So this was January. And we set the whole time from December, January, all up until now, we're in February, where we're like, we're going to do 1,000 accounts in February. And we've been talking about this 1,000 accounts in February for, you know, 2 months now, and how this is our breakout month. This is how we do it in the shortest season. We sell more solar than anybody else. And then this is going to set the cadence for the remainder of the year, right? This is going to set us in motion because this is still slower season for most people, right? This is still the winter time and it's the shortest month of the year. So my goal was to do 1,000. And then with that goal, there's going to be so many things that spawn from it because when everyone produces at a level to create that kind of massive value, that kind of wave, I don't know what's going to come. It's going to come with massive growth. There's going to be a ton of recruits. So then I have to hone back and okay, what do we want as a company? Well, me and Andy talk about getting to 10,000 people in the company all the time. And that's like a crazy goal, but how do we create systems and software to solve that problem, to scale that way? In solar, operations is a beast. Operations with multiple platforms, with multiple partners, it's a beast, right? So when I focus on my goals right now, a lot of my goals are on the operation side, right? Because in order to keep the retention, in order to keep growing and scaling, in order to give everyone the best experience, I have to listen to everybody, prioritize based on what we hear from our leaders and operations team. And then we have to do something where we set like a thematic goal every quarter. And this new definition is a new thing that I've been using. And it's really helpful to lay the foundation in business, but you can set a thematic goal, which is basically a goal that points everyone in the same direction. So everyone's rowing in the same direction and it has a deadline and it's an overarching goal where if we accomplish this, it's going to be, you know, lead to a lot of success, right? So our goal for this quarter is just lay the foundation. Our thematic goal is to lay the foundation. And then within it, you have defining objectives. So everything that we talked about in the leadership retreat with the ops team and with our leaders, we get all of these different, you know, hot button items. And then we get other things that I don't think about. I put them on the whiteboard, right? Me and G, my CTO, we just whiteboarded out. We spent like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day doing this stuff. We whiteboarded out and then we're like, okay, which ones fit into what? Okay, here are 5 defining objectives. So we created 5 defining objectives. I'll give you an example of 2. So one of them is data integrity. And there's so many subsets of actionable items that go in there. And with that, there's going to be a stakeholder. So there's going to be someone that's 100% responsible for getting this done by the end of April. And then there's a deadline for the whole thing. And then there's deadlines for every task within that. So I can hold people accountable to this exact defining objective because this objective hitting will help us get to our main goal, which is laying the foundation. Let's get legit. Let's be like freaking awesome in this category. So it's just absolute plug and play and it's just unstoppable. And then another one is software upgrades. So this defining objective is more of a UX UI. So this is focusing on creating the design and the user interface for all of our sales reps and operations where they can be more effective, efficient, and have more transparency and clarity so there's less friction. If we get that right, we do this right for our people, and there's a ton of stuff within it, like a ton of different you know, updates and upgrades they're making. Like that's going to allow us to have a really solid foundation where everyone feels like, you know, in this business and in this industry, they're taken care of because they know exactly what's going on at all times between data accuracy or data integrity and the software upgrades. And there's three others. So that's what we're doing right now this quarter for our goals. And then when we get to the end of the quarter, we hit all these things. We're going to have a new thematic goal. We're going to have new defining objectives, and it's going to keep building. My goal is to take over the world. Damn right. Like, I just keep saying that every day because that fuels me. That fires me up. And so I need something that fires me up. And what doesn't fire me up is saying we're going to do 1,000 accounts can fire me up for the month. But like, those don't fire me up as much as like, oh, if I could take over the world right now, like, and I could be the, I'm going to be the number one. We're going to be the number one solar company in the industry. And we're going to do the right way. We're going to create systems and guardrails that protect the consumers. Like, we're going to do all the things that nobody's thinking about because it matters.
Damn right.
We're going to get to 2,500 five-star reviews by the end of the year. We're going to have the best customer service experience that we control at scale. Like, we're, and that's another one of those defining objectives. We're going to control all of this. And if we could just keep chipping away at these, dude, by the end of the year, between all these goals being crushed, it's game over.
Company's going to be unrecognizable compared to where it is now. To where
it's unrecognizable.
In December. That's going to be fucking dangerous, bro. I can't wait. Yeah. That's the stuff that fires me up, too. Man. Golly.
I love evolving, bro. I love playing in the software space. I love playing in how to create the systems around the solutions. It's like I've had to learn and evolve into the CEO role. And I've had some really great mentors help me out. But, dude, it's so fun just to grow. And it's so fun to stretch yourself really freaking thin. And that's one thing I would say, like, anyone that's operating a business or leading a big team, like, dude, it's supposed to be hard as shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the second you think it's not supposed to be hard as shit, like, you're never going to get where you want to be. Because if you just embrace that it's going to be hard, you're going to be go, go, go. And what really helps you understand what level you have to be able to play at is watching someone, I'm just going to go back to Andy, like, watching someone like Andy operate. Dude doesn't stop moving or stop talking or stop executing for a second. Like, he's just, dude, he's at a different level of cadence and his ability to communicate clearly the entire time and perform at all moments and give the right information and speak from his heart is something that I've just never seen a human operate at. And by seeing that, I just realized that, like, dude, like, that's what it takes. And having that is everything.
Dude, I quite literally say I don't believe that Andy's human because
it feels like he's a different kind. I don't like to say that because that means it's unattainable, but like it does feel like that because it's like, how much did he have to go through? How much adversity, how much suffering did he have to experience in order to flip this on?
Does intention. Because it is obtainable. He is human. Okay. Yeah. Cut Andy. He bleeds same red, the same red that me and you do. But I've been with him, you know, running around across the country. Like, there's been two times I've seen the guy sleep in my entire time being employed here. Okay. And like, I've been to Mexico with them. I've slept at their house for, you know, more times than I can count. Like, I just boop, 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 type in the door code. Next thing you know, goes to stay in the guest room. It's cool. I'm like family, like, let's rock and roll. Two times I've seen this guy sleep, and I know exactly where. One was on a flight back from Alexandria, Louisiana, and then the second time was when we were literally sharing a hotel room because somebody messed up our bookings in the same room. So we had twin, you know, the queen beds, and he was like, all right, dude, good night, and I went to sleep, and I rolled over. I was like, all right, this guy actually is asleep. Because I literally had to check, bro, because at that time I was like a year and a half into the company, and I was like, I've never seen this guy take a break. Yeah. And so I've only seen him fall asleep twice. So he might not be human.
You don't see it, but like, that's what it, dude, if you want to go really big and you want to just overpass everyone and step past everybody else, like, and get there in a way that's so much faster and cleaner than anybody else, like, it requires so much more effort. You have to go through so much more shit and you have to be able to avoid all the shit at the same time. Like, it is a superpower and it is extremely challenging when you're traveling and removing nonstop. But the thing that can always be the foundation is the fitness. You can always have things that solidify you and ground you and give you the energy on a daily basis to keep doing that. And for me, that's like the fitness and there's other pieces to it. But if you don't think this is going to be a bitch and it's going to be the hardest thing of your life, like, you're not going to be going for the gold. No. You're going for bronze. You might be going for silver, but
you're
gold.
You're not even going to be in the stadium.
Yeah, you might even say gold is going to take everything you've ever had.
And one thing I want to say is this, which I've seen you do, I've seen Andy do, and I've seen a lot of successful business owners who, you know, are obviously our clients do, is that you see a lot of these companies have problems, which problems are good things to have, which means that you're dealing with some type of growing pain. Mm-hmm. And so I seen them, and what they do is they don't adopt the problem. They just focus all energy and resource to solve the problem. Like, you see that there's some companies out there and something will come up. They adopt the problem. And next thing you know, that's all they can think about. And they do nothing. Like, as you say, they don't listen to take action. They just listen to hear and then just do nothing with it. And so they're adopting these problems and they're not taking any type of action towards solving it. And I want to say this, like, that's what made you guys great. You know, the time that I've been watching you guys on social media, when you come in, when we meet the team, like when you just see everything happening, you're like, yeah, dude, that's what makes you guys special, is that you're not about just hearing about it. You're about being about it. And dude, I got to say this, of, I got a lot of clients out here that are, you know, running businesses, but you're definitely up there of the most fired up, the most consistent, the most just, hey, you know what? I just want to change. I just want to win. And so, dude, you're living it the right way. You're doing it right. And that's the shit that gets me like just pumped up, like ready to, and just ready to see you guys win at a bigger level. Because, dude, I don't gain anything from it.
Dude, we, by the way, like, my team and myself, we fucking love seeing you guys win too.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
I love being here and supporting and helping however I can, even in the smallest way possible. If anything, I'm just can be an example, right? Of like what it can do and what it can be to have this kind of impact from a team like the LA Group within your team and within your mindset and the way you just operate. But dude, like, that's when you brought up earlier, like, you guys are blowing up, we're blowing up. I'm like, dude, it's so fun to run with people that are like, you're in sync. We're in alignment here. We're both going here.
Yeah.
Like, we do different things, symbiotic. But we're very symbiotic. We're very like in the same state of rapid growth, same state of energy. And that's why I think my team and myself, we always want to be here. We always want to have our people here. And I think when you can find a group like we found to run with at a heavy level, like the LA Group, like yourself, dude, it is a cheat code, because it keeps reminding you. It keeps reminding me of what I'm doing, the belief I need to have, the how hard I need to go. Because you can go, if you go a week or two or even a month without a hit of this, you kind of need a hit. I call it just a hit. You just need a freaking hit. Just sometimes you got to get checked. You just got to get checked a little bit. And when you get checked a little bit, either by seeing people operate at a high level or by someone calling you out on your shit, when you get checked, it gives you a chance to course correct quickly so you can get right where you need to be. And some people don't have a group like the LA Group or like you to where they'll ever get checked or they'll ever get hit or they'll ever be told anything. And so they're just going to operate the way they operate. And that's why the industry and a lot of people just will never really grow, or eventually you flounder out.
Yeah, they'll just stay stagnant. And so, dude, awesome conversation, freaking badass. One thing I want to do is obviously tell people where they can find you on social media, because if they made it to this part of the podcast, they're fired up, they're ready to run through a wall. And some of these guys are looking for opportunities. So where can they find you on social media?
Just hit me on Instagram, Alex H. Smith.
Or at Spartan Solar Official.
Or at Spartan Solar Official. And watch what we do. We show the black and white. We always show the results. We show the evidence. We don't just talk about it and throw on this fugazi. Because anyone could be on a podcast. Anyone could put together a podcast. Anybody can show and create videos and reels. But we're going to show, and what you're going to see on my page and the company page is the black and white, the evidence, what the fuck we actually do, the production, how many deals we're selling, how many we're installing, how many families we're helping, how much people are making. Like, you're actually going to see that stuff, because we share that stuff, because one, it's there. If it wasn't there, we couldn't share it.
Yeah.
But one, it's actually there. We show you behind the scenes. But when you see that, like, you need to learn from people that have the results in the black and white behind them. Those are the people you need to learn from. Because if you can learn from those people, guess what? It's the right information. There's a lot of fugazi out there. So I'm just saying, if you follow me, like, what you're going to see is the truth. And I think that's the most important thing right now. Because in a society today where we had a moment and a stint of Lambos and Ferraris and flashy stuff and people in debt and people making a, you know, an image out to be, I think that's no longer very attractive. I think people are starting to realize what it is. You need to seek the truth, whether it's me or with other people. You need to find people that have the black and white, that create the results within their own life, within their own company. And then you got to learn from them. And as long as you can follow that formula, obviously we partake in it. There's a ton of other people that partake in that. Not as many as you like, as many as you think. You're going to find yourself in a place where you can get the right information to take the right action, to make the right decisions.
Damn right.
Yeah.
God, I'm fired up, baby.
Let's go.
Dude, hey, listen, appreciate you guys for watching. If you made it to the end of the video, number one, like, comment, share, subscribe, share it to a friend, simply because, hey, listen, if you can watch this and not pull any type of value out of this that you could start to implement into your life, that means like you were distracted when you watched this. And if you were distracted when you watched this, please go back and rewatch it, simply because there was so much that was dropped by, not me, but by you, somebody who's leading a company that's very successful, when everybody who's watching this wants to be successful and make money.
Yeah.
Well, right here, you have somebody who is leading a company that is going to be very successful. It's not me saying it.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. And so the deal is, hey, go back, grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, take some notes, write some things down. Don't be distracted. Take an hour and 20 minutes of your time to learn the best the best information that you can learn in your entire life. Because without it, you're going to stay the same. You're going to stay stagnant, and stagnant water grows bad bacteria.
Mm.
And so don't be that person who's just being stagnant, sitting
around. Don't be that bad bacteria, bitch.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, listen, I'm like the mitochondria, bro. I'm just trying to be the powerhouse of the cell, bro. And so listen, you have a lot in here that's going to help change your life and help change your business and help you change the way that you think, act, and walk around and let you not be somebody who's new to this, but true to this. And so, guys, make sure you follow him on social media. Obviously, follow Andy and, you know, shoot your boy a follow, man. It's at The Real Young Closer on Instagram, man. And so, let's
play ball, dude.
Yeah, let's just play ball.
Let's go fuck shit up.
Yeah, at least get in the stadium. You know, if you want to sit in the nosebleeds, no problem. That means you're in the stadium and you're at least watching the game, because there's a lot of people that ain't in the stadium. They're not even knowing that the game is being played. They don't even know that there's opportunity out there. They're the ones who are completely just unconscious incompetence. They don't know what they don't know. And so this is an opportunity for you to be able to be somebody who can help somebody understand that there's opportunities out there. You can be the person that can change somebody's perspective, or maybe this podcast changed your perspective. Yep. And so there's a lot of ways for you to change and grow and be something that's special for other people. But if you do nothing with it, you know what the old saying is, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. And so if this didn't change anything for you, no problem. Keep it pushing, go on to the next thing. But guess what? You're just probably going to keep on scrolling and not do anything with it anyways. So
just be a gangster.
Hey, go be a gangster.
Go be a gangster, dude.
But hey, listen, that's the end of the podcast. Love you guys to death. Make sure that you reach out to Alex if you're looking for an opportunity to go dominate the world with him. Because guess what? He needs people. He needs people who are about that domination. And so this is an opportunity for you to be able to do something really big and have a legacy, because there's culture creators and legacy builders.
Yep.
And you guys are doing it. So
appreciate you, brother. Friday, man. Thanks, man. Oh.
I like getting money. I got time to get it. Target on me, so my car's a tinny. Dancing with the devil, I don't bargain with it. Bobbing in a dash, and the stick is witty. And I hit the 4-5 on the wet side.